والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى، ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we have been discussing Surah Wadduha and taking some lessons as we are going along. There are so many things in this surah that we can go on discussing the whole year round and we cannot complete it. That is the beauty of the Quran Sharif, that in every word, in every sentence, in every surah, there is an ocean that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept. The more a person goes deeper and deeper into this ocean, the more gems and more pearls he brings out. But he will never find an end, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself has got no limits. Nevertheless, we have discussed to some extent that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, for some time there was a stop, or for some time there was a delay in the coming of the wahi. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, out of his wisdom, he delayed the sending of the wahi to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this gave an opportunity to his critics and to those who were his enemies to say that your Rabb has forsaken you, your Rabb has forgotten you, your Rabb is displeased with you, and you have been sitting and writing everything overnight and producing to us as wahi, whereas there is no such thing as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam coming down with the wahi. Many, many different kinds of objections and criticism were raised. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout his life, there was nothing but tests and trials. And who is being tested? The mehboob of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the beloved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the one for whom Allah ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, and man and jinn and jannat. Everything was created because Allah ta'ala had intended sending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last and the final messenger. You have heard many, many times, na masjid na masjid ke oonche minare, na qibla na kaaba na makkah madina, agar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na hota, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We wouldn't have had Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, we wouldn't have had our masajid, we wouldn't have had our minbars and our mihrabs, we would not have had our minaras, we would not have had Quran Sharif, and we would not have had anything if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not send Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the lesson that we take from there is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the mehboob of Allah ta'ala. If he was going through these type of trials and tests, if he was going through these type of difficulties, objections, criticism, ridicule, mockery, teasing, beating, torture, anything that you can think of, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to face it. What lesson did he leave behind for us? That in all those conditions, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam exercised the maximum amount of sabr. Sabr at its height, there was no complaint of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at any juncture. There was no complaint that, oh Allah, on the one hand you say I am your last and final messenger. You say that I am your mehboob. Everything has been created for me. And yet I have to go through these type of difficulties. It's a great lesson for the ummah to come right up till the day of Qiyamah, that don't lose your faith and trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala irrespective of what conditions befall you. Unfortunately, and this is the truth what I am telling you, that at present there are so many people large numbers, I'm not talking about just a small percentage, who have lost their faith and trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We are not talking even about those wars which are taking place, where bombs are raining upon little children, the women, the old, the feeble, the sick. Bombs are raining even on hospitals. We are not talking about those type of conditions. I am talking about those conditions which are befalling ordinary people like us. A little bit of sickness, the doctor gives every kind of medication, but the person does not seem to get cure from that ailment, and he has lost his trust in Allah. How many times I made dua, how much of medicine I have taken, nothing has happened. Nauzubillah. Or the person has gone through some financial difficulties, a little bit of financial problems in a person's life. He tried the various means and even went to the extent of borrowing from the banks, thinking that his problem will be solved. But at the end of the day, when he does not find a solution to his problems, then he says, I'd rather take my life, or where is that Allah? He all say about turning towards Allah Ta'ala, I made so much of dua, nothing seems to have happened. Just last night a person told me the same thing. One young person, for the first time I met him, he came specially here to meet me. And then he mentioned the same thing. One, I've gone through so much of difficulties, so much of problems. I borrowed from Paul to pay Peter, and I did this and I did that. And then finally I decided that I'd rather overdose myself, or hang myself, or shoot myself. And he says, I was on the verge of doing that when somebody said that I must come and see you. Now what was his problem? Financial difficulties. So we lose our trust and we lose our faith in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Qudrat. So this surah Wad Duha was not only for Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's tasalli, giving him consolation. As I mentioned, that it is a lesson for all of us, that irrespective of what kind of conditions come upon a person, but he must not lose his faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala. The audience is different, so I'm repeating something that just came to mind last night when I was just in the majlis of zikr. So I mentioned one incident, and there's great lesson in it for us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala inspires the walis, his friends. They say certain things, sometimes in a few words, which have great meaning and great depth. So Hazrat Baba Farid Shakarganj Rahmatullah Alayh, a great alim, a great wali, a great muhaddis also, he says that I met 600 walis of Allah Ta'ala. He was the Khalifa of Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Ali. He says that I met 600 walis of Allah Ta'ala. Meaning in his travels, while he's traveling, different people he met in different places, but 600 of them all together. And he says to each and every one of them I put 4 questions. Each and every one of them. Now he recognized that this person is a wali of Allah Ta'ala. For us, who is a wali of Allah Ta'ala? A person who gives a flowery speech. After that, he can be in the cinemas, in the theaters, he can be shaving his beard, he can be doing anything, but he's a great wali of Allah Ta'ala. Or we see the person making some namaz, making long sajda and ruku, so we have come to conclusion he's a wali of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas the wali of Allah Ta'ala is the person of taqwa. In his whole life, there's taqwa. In his relationship with his family, there's taqwa. With his wife and children, there's taqwa. In his business dealings, there's taqwa. He doesn't do anything that is displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Again, that same lesson from Surah Wad Duha. Nothing is done to displease Allah Ta'ala. He has that concern that I am answerable, I am accountable for every action of mine. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching. Allah Ta'ala is hearing. Allah Ta'ala knows what I am doing. So those are the walis of Allah Ta'ala. Not just some kind of ibadat that we see in a person's life, and after that all the other avenues of his life, there is no iman, there's no yaqeen, there's no faith, and there's no trust, and there's no Marifat of Allah Ta'ala. It comes as a package that the person has to have taqwa in all departments. So he is talking about those kind of walis, that who had iman, yaqeen, and who had taqwa in all aspects of their lives. He says 600 of them I met. Otherwise like that, every Muslim, we must have the good opinion, is a wali of Allah Ta'ala. But a wali, a true wali of Allah, a true friend of Allah Ta'ala, he can recognize who has got those sifats of a wali. So he says, I posed the same four questions to all of them. The first question was that who is an intelligent person? Now I was going to make tafsir of Surah Wad Dua, but whatever comes to my mind, then I believe that that is the best for someone or the other in the audience or for myself. So he says, who is an intelligent person? That was my first question. Now all of us will say intelligent person, the person who has got a lot of degrees, qualifications, and he gets the highest position in the government, and he rules over vast territories, and he's got a big kingdom, then he's that intelligent person. He says, each and every one of them, I ask them this question, that who is the intelligent person? Now the Quran Sharif has also said who are the ulul albab, but I'm not going into that. He says, these walis of Allah Ta'ala that I asked, each and every one of those 600 that I questioned, in different places at different times, they all said that the intelligent person is the one who has recognized his creator. That is the intelligent person, who has recognized his Rabb, he has recognized his sustainer, he has recognized his master, he has recognized his creator, then he is the intelligent person. The other persons, if they have got lots of degrees and qualifications and everything, it's good for the worldly earnings and for material gain and for the physical enjoyment and pleasures, but in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they have absolutely no weight. But on the other hand, if it's a believer in Allah Ta'ala, he who has recognized his creator, then if he is progressing and he goes to the highest seat in the government, then there's nothing wrong with that. From amongst the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majma'in, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there were so many of them who were governors of countries. There were so many khalifas of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the Khulafa'i Rashidin, and they ruled over such vast territories. They were holding the highest position in the land. And even today, if a person has got taqwa, he has got iman, he has got yaqeen, and he's got chain of degrees also in the secular field, then there's no such thing as secular and Islamic. If that person has got those degrees and is making use of it for the benefit of himself, his family and the deen of Allah Ta'ala, there's nothing wrong with it. The Muslims excelled in every field. So then it is a bonus. But we are talking about that person who hasn't recognized his creator and is going to the highest seat on the land. Then these walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they said that person is not intelligent. The intelligent person is he who recognizes who is his creator, who is his master, who is it that has blessed him with his life and with his soul and with his body and with his eyes and ears and nose, with his faculties of speech and hearing, with his heart, liver and lungs all functioning, and a unique system which baffles the scientists and man's imagination Allah Ta'ala has put into this human body. So the person recognizes, and how Allah Ta'ala provides sustenance, and how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provides all other resources. So this person recognizes his creator, that my duty now is to obey that Allah. So he said, that is the intelligent person. So the second question that I posed to each and every one of those 600 that I met, walis of Allah Ta'ala, great walis, was that who is that person who is sensible? He is a sensible person. Now we will again give different definitions for a sensible person. Now what reply did these walis of Allah Ta'ala give? That the sensible person is that person who doesn't lose his senses when difficulties come upon him. Now that was the point that brought me to this incident. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his entire life, so much of difficulties, so much of hardships, so much of tests and trials, and even his companions, but we never heard of any one of them taking their lives. And yet they were going through the worst of all tortures. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, who does not know what he went through? Hazrat Sumayya, that woman, who does not know what she went through? Read in the Hikayat of Sahaba, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, the different stories there. But not one of them said that I am tired of making du'as, I am tired of turning towards Allah, I am tired of believing in that Allah who you say is all-hearing, all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty. Why is He not coming to my assistance? And where is He? I'd rather take my life. Which has become such a common statement on the tongues of so many of our brothers and sisters. So many. I've heard it with my own ears so many times that I cannot even imagine that we are reducing ourselves to that level. That we make dua 2-3 times for some problem, we take some medication for some illness, or we try to ask somebody for assistance in financial difficulties, and when we don't get that, we say, I'd rather take my life. I'd rather shoot myself. Or I'd rather overdose myself. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's companions went through so much, but we don't find any wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala taking his life. Why? Because they have got that inner connection with that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in those difficulties also Allah ta'ala gives them a kind of sukoon. Why we are not finding sukoon in our difficulties? Because we have got no connection with Allah ta'ala. We just make some kind of namaz and we dash out and we are back into our old lifestyles. That is about all that is left now in our lives, a little bit of namaz. But when it comes to all the other affairs and other departments of our lives, then we know that we are how negligent. So this is the reason why in our difficulties we do not seem to sense that our Allah is with us. I gave that example many times, that if an exam, now it is a time of examination that many schools and madrasas and darul ulooms, that if an examiner has set a very difficult paper, very difficult for the candidate to answer. Now when he looks at the paper, he says it's very difficult. But then the examiner goes past and he says, what's your problem? He says, difficult paper. Questions are very difficult. He says, all right, give your hand into my hand. I will write the answers. Now the examiner writes the answers. The examiner himself writes the answers. So will that paper be difficult then? If the examiner himself is going to write the answers. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who sends different conditions upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. But if they have got this inner connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that inner connection only comes when we're going to give up sins in our lives. This is something that we cannot avoid. There is no other way. No matter how much of sajdas upon sajdas we make, no matter how much of wazifas we read, and no matter how much of ta'weezes we hang in our whole house, and on our whole bodies, it is not going to solve the problem until we don't please that Allah whom we have displeased with our evil actions. Allah Ta'ala does not want us to go through difficulties. There are trials which will come, but as I said, that even in those trials and tests, if we've got this inner connection with Allah Ta'ala, then He will give us a kind of sukoon which the kings do not have. Wallah, the kings do not know what kind of diamonds the Ahlullah have in their hearts. If they only knew, they would have sent the army, just as they're sending the army and military to Iraq and other Middle East states to grab the oil, they would have sent these armies to grab those diamonds also. Therefore Allah Ta'ala kept it hidden inside the heart, so they can't see it there. Such sukoon Allah Ta'ala gives. Then what is the need to say that I must take my life? Yes, sometimes the effect of that dua could take time. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, for how many years he cried upon the loss of his son Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Finally Allah Ta'ala united them. Allah Ta'ala even restored his sight. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam went deep down in the ocean in the stomach of the whale. And that is where he says, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimeen. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him salvation. Allah Ta'ala relieves him of that distress. So conditions will come, but with that inner connection the person will enjoy a kind of sukoon. So he says the second question was that who is that sensible person? The sensible person is that person who does not lose his senses when he has got difficulties and hardships and problems. He still stays strong and firm and steadfast. That is the sensible person. I mentioned last night also that even that in these days if somebody shakes our door, or somebody has to enter into our home, or somebody has to hijack a car or do something of that kind, Allah Ta'ala must protect us all, then we lose hope, finish. We say, now what else can we do now? We'd rather leave this country and go away far from here. But remember, even if you are going to go far away, difficulties and difficult conditions and adversities will follow us. Because if it is an azab of Allah Ta'ala, whether you go to America, that azab will come with us there. If we go to China, that azab which is of Allah Ta'ala, we can't leave it behind here. Because of our evil actions and our evil deeds, if these type of conditions are coming as an azab of Allah Ta'ala, as a punishment, then whether we go to China or anywhere in the world, that azab is going to follow us and we are going to still go with that same heart to that country. So that heart which found no sukoon in this country will not find sukoon in that country too. But if it is as a means of a test and Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate the status, or Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive sins, or Allah Ta'ala wants to reward that person in some other form, that he takes away a little bit of wealth and he gives him something better in return, then that wherever he is going to be, is going to get the same thing. So the person must not lose his senses and lose his faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala that I tried so many times, I did this, I made dua, I made namaz of hajat. Keep on checking with where am I going wrong. After that we will definitely find where we are going wrong. If we are going to go for x-ray all the time, then the x-ray is going to pick up something or the other, what is wrong inside us. So like that, keep x-raying ourselves in the x-ray of the Qur'an Sharif and the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, will find our problems. So he said that was the reply of 600 walis of Allah Ta'ala, that sensible person is that person who does not lose his senses in times of difficulty. And I will just conclude by just touching on the other two because the time is expiring. I was going to make tafsir of Surah Wadduha, so this is also connected with that. They said, after that I asked the 600 walis the same question, that who is a rich person? Who is a rich person, wealthy person? So all of them said one thing. The wealthy person, the rich person is that person who has got contentment in his heart. He is the wealthy person. And the last of the four questions which I posed to the 600 walis in different places, different times, and I got the same reply, who is the poor person? So the poor person is that person who has got greed in his heart. The greedy person is so poor that we cannot even imagine. That no matter how much he has, but that greed is in there. Why has my neighbor got such a kind of car? Why has he got such a kind of, why does he wear such kind of clothes? Why has he got this kind of building? Why does he own this kind of property? Everything, when the person is going to keep looking at the other person, he's got this, he's got that, I don't have it, I don't have it. So therefore this greed now is going to lead him to destruction. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all with his recognition, his ma'rifat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us with istiqamat and steadfastness in all conditions which befall us. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us contentment in our hearts, and may Allah ta'ala protect us from greed, and may Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the Ummah of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is facing, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, which part of the world the Ummah is not suffering. May Allah ta'ala remove those difficulties by giving us the tawfiq of doing those things that are pleasing to him. Wa aqara da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.